You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Schwabach.
Hey, welcome back. This is hour number two of Nightlight, just getting started here. Lots of fun that first hour. We spoke with Mike Gamal, the founder of Joey Song in Madison, which is now turned into a music festival called Freezing Man. It's at the Sylvie Theater this coming January, from January 8th through the 12th. Lots of big names. John Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls, Butch Vig from Garbage. Our pal Frank Anderson will be there playing with the Know-It-All Boyfriends and just some of the Go-Go's. Just a really fun event. And for such a great cause. And if you are going, or if you're planning on going or interested after hearing Mike's interview, check out joeyssong.org. All the tickets, the proceeds, the artists don't even take any money. And that's pretty impressive. So it's a great cause and should be an absolutely phenomenal show. I've never been there. I've heard such great things about it. Like, it's an absolute, a total gas, if you will. We also talked about favorite holiday foods in the first hour.
Cookies.
Chocolate was all over. Out of the top 10, chocolate was listed like 5 times. Cookies were listed like 3 times. And here's an interesting thing, Con. I don't know if you knew this. I sent this to you earlier. The price, if you want to leave cookies for Santa Claus, the price has gone up by $2.02 in 5 years. The average cost that it used to be to leave cookies for Santa Claus was $6.42. Now it's $8.44.
Making your own?
I have no idea what their criteria was. Buying or making?
I went grocery shopping last night. And okay. I was, you know, the thing, after done with the show, I don't eat before, so I eat as soon as I get home. Okay. So, you know what I did? I went to the grocery store hungry.
Oh, nice work.
And I saw these Christmas cookies that were made fresh by the bakery that morning. And I was like, well, let's put it in the cart.
Wait, what?
So I saw these cookies and they looked really good. So I put them in the cart because I was hungry. And they were $6. And they came and there was 9 of them in there.
9 cookies for $6?
Yeah.
Were they like gourmet?
I mean, they were the... kind of the bigger. They were like in the shapes of like a Christmas tree, and they had the special frosting on it and some, what are the sprinkles?
Were they made at the Walmart bakery?
At the festival bakery.
Oh, that's better.
If it was the Walmart bakery, it would have been five bucks. Yeah, that's why I like Walmart, because you go there and it's just cheaper there, but it is farther away from you, so.
I do Walmart. I used to have this thing about Walmart. Like, I wanted to give any money I had to mom and pop places. So I avoided Walmart. But now those mom and pop places aren't really around.
Yeah.
Your choices are really limited. Like, especially in Marinette, we have Jack's Fresh Market. And there's 3 of those in the 2 cities. And then Walmart. And Walmart's open till 11. So half the time, I can't make it to Jack's on time when I get back from here. And I know the family that owns Jack's. So... there you go.
You know, here's an idea, all right? Nightlight Market, all right?
Ooh, I like that.
And we open after the show.
And all we do is sell swag. You want food? Can't help you. So that was our number one, folks. We talked about some fun events going on around the state, too, as we get closer to Christmas. 2 or 3 of those fun events will be discussed here on Nightlight this week. We've got great guests all week. And coming up later this hour, in about 20 minutes, the fine folks, Erica and Scott, will be here from Comedy City in De Pere. Erica Larson, Scott, let's call him Scott. We don't know how to say his last name, so we don't want to insult him.
Yes.
Because I could make up a name and trail off, but that's not like he's, if he's listening right now, he would know that's what I'm doing.
So what about Scott Schwabach? That's got a ring to it.
When you go Schwabach, you've got to have a hard ending sound for the first name. So Scott Schwabach works. Jack Schwabach, Frank Schwabach. My parents went with Pete. I don't know. It was the 60s. I don't know what was going on.
Well, it's barely Peter, 60s, right?
But, it's Thomas Peter.
Oh, okay.
So that's another headache I've had to deal with my whole life. As a comedian, I was Peach. Oh, well, hold on. This check says Pete. I know, but, the, you know, okay. So I've tried to make my parents feel guilty about that. They don't really care. So we've got Comedy City coming up at 6:35. And then in the third hour, Act 3, Boris Hamilton, a comedian friend of mine who I met years ago in Los Angeles. Very funny guy. He is part of a really cool documentary called, what is it called? It's, I had it right here in front of me. It's about, this is so embarrassing. Okay, here it is. This is not the documentary. Boris is in a documentary. I'm going to tell you all about it. That's what I should have said because I can't find the.
Yeah, you leave it up, you know, suspense is the best one, you know, and just 7:20, you'll find out.
No, but I don't, sometimes I prefer not to make mistakes like this. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reopen the window. Here's what it's called. The Dawn of Tiki is the, this is so cool.
That has a cool ring to it.
The Dawn of Tiki, it's about Don Beach, also known as Don the Beachcomber, whose iconic bar sparked the global tiki movement.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Boris is in this film. So we're going to talk about that. Boris and I were also on the same Comedy Central show years ago. We'll talk a little comedy, some Christmas movies. Going to be a lot of fun. Our question of the night, Con, I think we need to reintroduce the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is a gift that's hard to wrap? They're out there. And earlier, Conrad, you said you weren't a good gift wrapper. I don't consider myself a good gift wrapper either, but it is not brain science. I mean, if you take your time, you can wrap a damn gift. And I am amazed though. And like, sometimes you get a gift and it looks like someone spent 2 hours wrapping your gift. And I feel bad about that because I never do that. I feel like I want to make it easier to take the paper off because people just want the gift. But in my wife's room, I was like, oh, this is so pretty. And they study the gift and the wrapping for 5 minutes before they open the gift. I'm like, get to the damn gift. I appreciate the wrapping. It's great, but it's like a custom. It's like this sort of social norm where you have to say, you have to compliment the gift wrapping before you open it. And I never, you know, I feel like if I'd said that, it'd be weird. Oh, like if I was talking to my brother, Tim, this is a beautiful gift wrapping job, Tim. He would say, he would probably just grunt and go, like, you know. But you said your brother's a very good gift wrapper.
Yeah, he's great.
Does he pride himself on that, though?
I think so. Like, wow, he does all the gift wrapping. I don't think my sister-in-law does any of it. It's just, he's just phenomenal at
it. It's a 21st century dude right there.
he really use gift bags either. Like, he likes to use gift wrap and make it special. See, I'm the type of guy who's like, what kind of funny gift bag can I find?
Yeah.
And then I use that.
Festival foods.
And then it's just do whatever you want with it. You can keep it or you can throw it away. I don't care after that. You know?
Yeah, same. And my wife will say that too. Now, hold on a second. Save that wrapping paper. It's like, okay.
So now that becomes
a process too.
If you keep the wrapping paper, I don't do that. But the gift bag, my parents like to keep that. I mean, because when they moved to Florida, they gave all my brother all their gift wrapping stuff.
That is so crazy that your brother takes it that seriously. I love
and
that.
He is a lot. I mean, he has gift bags handed down for many years, too, gift bags that I use. I'm like, all right, I'm here. Where are the gift bags?
Conrad's coming to town. Go to the basement and get the gift bags. Yeah, I just, I don't, and it's not like we probably should do that. It would save paper. That's great, but I just don't have the fortitude or the patience. I guess I revert back to when I was a kid and I just want to tear the wrapping paper off. You know what I mean? Even though you don't get gifts as cool as you did when you were like, now it's like, okay, give me my socks. You know, it's like, I know I'm going to get that kind of stuff, which I'm fine with that too, because frankly, I never go out and buy socks. I never go out and buy t-shirts, but like my daughter gave me a, you know, awesome, like my daughter t-shirt. Well, that's my gym shirt. Like, I'm never going to go out and buy a shirt to wear to the gym.
Actually, I did that this year. I did buy shirts to go to the gym because...
Really? Tube top?
the gym shirt I was wearing had those logos that if, you know, if you got sweaty, they'd kind of like rub on you. You don't like that.
Oh, so. I don't like the logos.
Yeah, so I got shirts that are just plain white.
Oh, man.
Oversized, and they're just, they're comfy as all. I'll get it.
I told you last week I put a shirt on, one of those, what do you call them, GBW shirts.
Oh, those are actually,
with
those,
the crazy logo. They're very comfortable shirts.
They actually don't rub, like, I use those for the gym too, and they don't.
Oh, that drove. No. I put it on inside out, and I had I had the logo. It was dark in the room. I put it on, and I felt that cold logo, and I did like this crazy dance to get out of the shirt because it was driving me bananas. All right. So our question of the night is, what is a gift that is hard to wrap? And I've been thinking about this, and I'm just going to say a plant.
Have you tried doing that before?
No, I'm just saying it would be hard to wrap.
It would be hard. I mean, I haven't tried to wrap a drum set, but.
Yeah, so don't act like you're taking the high road there.
Actually, I wrap a drum set every year. It's just really hard. That's my only gift I give to people.
You get, wow, you're a good gift getter. Drop a couple hondo. We have, our guests are here. Scott and Eric are here. So let's get them inside here where it's warm. On social media, let's go to some text responses. Rich LoCascio from WRJN says, anything that's not cube-shaped. Just sounded funny. Daniel Wheeler, our pal Danny Wheel, says, a puppy. Yeah, good call. You don't want to wrap that, Dan. I know Dan's trying to be funny. Matt Harper, a motorcycle. Rock rap artist. And I think Matt's got a Harley. So, yeah, that would be tough.
That would be pretty tough. He could put it in a gift bag, though.
That's a huge gift bag and a lot of wrapping paper. Dan Davies, Appleton-based actor, says Southern-style loose meat sandwiches and pure unadulterated love. Yeah, you cannot wrap. You could wrap it in warmth, Dan. Give a hug. He says both are hard to wrap and find, for that matter. I think the loose meat sandwiches might be easier to find than unadulterated love. Wait, unadulterated love. Adulterated love means it's forbidden because that's like adultery, like cheating. So he's saying unadulterated love is like proper love. That word is perplexing me.
You can get like a coupon for that, I think.
For unadulterated love?
$10
yeah, the adult
off.
Bookstore, yeah. Eric Rathsack says a jelly mold and a cat. Yeah, those are tough. Those are tough, Eric. Chuck Gennaro says, Eric Rathsack, I just came here to say that. Oh my gosh. Those guys are thinking, and he posted a picture, but I can't see it.
It's the aunt from
Christmas Vacation.
Because she had a cat in the presence.
That's right. Oh, you know what? Boris, when he is here in the third hour, he is going to say some controversial things about Christmas Vacation.
Uh-oh.
And I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what he has to say. Tim Baker says a basketball.
Yeah,
that'd be tough to wrap. Gift bag,
exactly.
Yeah, or get the ball in the box and just wrap the box.
Well, there is, like, if you come in that, it comes in that box originally. If you keep that box, that difficult.
Put your unadulterated love in that box. You wrap it up, or you put your something else in the box, like they did on Saturday Night Live. Jimmy Cuska says, kindness. There you go. That's about as hard to wrap as Dan's answer, Jimmy. Thank you, sir. Nick Wallander from Comedy City says, Bitcoin. That's a tough one. Thank you, Dick. And then Jason Jerry, of course, says the dick in the box.
Yep.
So there you go. That was a gag, though. That's a gag gift.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess.
Because that's a typical guy, too. Mine is so nice. I have to present it in a box. We're coming right back to read more text. And I've got a really cool clip. It's all happening here on Nightlight on this Tuesday edition. Great to have you here, folks. It's Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Though the storm and its furies rage today, crushing hope that we cherish so deep, the cloud and storm will in time pass away.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Jean from Green Bay says, she's in the 920, says, Jean, kids' toys are hard to wrap. Yeah, I guess it depends.
Well, are you taking them out of the box before you wrap them? Because then that is difficult.
True. Kids are hard to wrap, let's be honest. Yeah, I don't... I guess it depends. Like, if it's a video game, that's pretty easy. But, yeah.
Simple answer for the toys, okay? Gift bag. I'm just going to preach it tonight.
Yeah, I think you need to put out a line of gift bags. And you know what?
The Nightlight gift bags.
You could go to Quick Trip. You could do your ad, play that song, and go to Quick Trip and say, "I'm Conrad, and I've created gift bags. Would you feature them here next to the Dunkers?"
I've just curated gift bags. They haven't been invented before.
Tom from Jackson in the 414 says, "Whatever happened to Brittany Merlot?" Well, she's still here, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brittany's. It wasn't like she was my sidekick. I mean, she still works for the network.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brittany's awesome. She does great work. Another weather person who loves the winter.
Yes. Yes.
Give Brittany weather and she'll be happy. Brett from Brown Deer says, "A puppy is pretty hard to wrap. Best present I ever got." Yeah, but come on. Nobody wrapped it.
You know, I've seen videos of people actually like wrapping a puppy. And I'm like, why? Why are you doing that to the puppy? Just
really freak this dog out.
Maybe put the puppy in the other room. Everyone just pick it up.
And here's your new puppy. Good luck house training it. It's got PTSD from being in a box for 2 days. Right. Monica from Mount Horeb says, "Sports equipment, balls, clubs, bows, skis, anything without corners or not in a box. Have a coworker who can't even wrap a box well." We did a white elephant exchange, and I'm pretty sure a kindergartner could have done better. I had to wrap gifts at a prior job, so I got a lot of practice and am pretty skilled. Only wish I was skilled at something more profitable. Well, that's not a very good attitude, Monica. I think you start your own gift wrapping business.
I've seen those at the mall.
Right.
And, you know, like
a
Mayfair
kiosk or whatever. Yeah.
Mayfair has like a whole store that you can pick out your color, the bow selection.
Yeah.
Maybe a gift bag corner for me.
Conrad over there hawking his gift bags with the Packers logo on it. Mark from Prairie to Sex says, "Cookies are pretty easy to make. Even biscotti, though you have to bake it twice, is fairly simple." I did not know that about biscotti.
Good I didn't know. Either.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. That's good holiday food. We were talking about holiday foods earlier. John from Madison says, "Evening, gents. Got into this late and not sure what the exact question is, but I'm going to throw out my individually wrapped special garden cucumbers and see if it sticks. How'd I do?" Well, John, if you wrap a cucumber, you know, there's one of a few things it could be. And I don't, you know, it depends who you give it to. Like, I always thought it would be weird to give one of my sister-in-laws, if I got their name, like a bra.
That would be weird.
Merry Christmas. There you go. A little lace on the top. That's what my brother says you like. Yeah, that would maybe end a relationship.
Yeah.
She might be like, "Your brother is really weird."
Dude, let's not see him anymore.
Well, let's not go home for the holidays anymore because your brother's buying everybody bras. John also says, "Okay, I think I missed completely." No, John, a cucumber's good. I don't know if you'd wrap vegetation, but you could. People might think it's something else. John also says, "Is it opposite day today?" He says, "Bet it is somewhere." And then, damn it. Okay, John. It's just stream of consciousness thinking there. So that's what I said, and I made this joke in the beats, and I hope people don't get upset, but it's this actor, George Schlatter, I think is his name, was on Diagnosis Murder. One of the Dick Van Dyke credits that doesn't sound like a real show. That sounds like something on Saturday Night Live this week on Diagnosis Murder. Like they're making fun of a show.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a great story because Dick Van Dyke, who just turned 100 this past weekend, said that this George Schlatter was a cast member. He played Travis, Dr. Travis Scott. And he said Dick Van Dyke went to bat for him getting a role in the show because he's only six. He's only, I think Schlatter is 5'4", and the character was written as being very tall, like 6'4". And Dick Van Dyke thought, no, it'd be fun if he was like more Michael J. Fox-like. Let's cast this guy. And he's responsible for this guy who was on a network show for 8 years and is getting residuals, and he calls his house, George Schlatter does, the house that Dick built, which is I also think, what John Holmes used to say about his house. Conrad, you can Google John Holmes.
I don't know if I should.
Not on a work computer. Okay, we've got Comedy City coming up after the news. What else am I missing here, Con? Do we do the... oh, you know what's a big... Speaking... While we're on the topic of risque things. Nude Christmas trees. Do you know about that?
I don't.
I saw this before, and I thought... Immediately, I thought it was people taking... It was like a Kardashian thing. They need to be naked by the Christmas tree and send that out because they just are running out of ideas. But this is an actual thing. Trees are sparsely lit with only white lights. So... the full tree is basically on display and just sort of accentuated with these little lights. I kind of like that. I like a colorful, I like colorful lights on a tree, I think, first.
So
I,
no,
I get that.
No ornaments at all?
No ornaments. Hmm. Just a little, very faint white lights, I guess. And they're called nudes, Christmas tree nudes.
You need some Polaroids of those.
They're, if you go to, where did I see this? This might have been a Ranker thing as well. But it's a celebrity thing because celebrities make everything famous. Julian Moore,
yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer, Victoria Beckham, and Khloe Kardashian. Of course, if the word nude is in there, there has to be a Kardashian involved. But yeah, it's like all the rage right now. Do you put up a Christmas tree in your apartment?
I do not.
No?
I have one Christmas decoration, and I don't even know where it went.
Oh, that's the spirit. all right, we're coming back with Comedy City is here in the house, ladies and gentlemen, also known as the Nightlight Studio. They're going to play some improv games. We'll talk about upcoming events. Lots going on over at this really cool theater here in Northeast Wisconsin. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I want to hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived. And I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
Welcome back. There are times when I like to come back music. It's called bumper music in the business, right?
That's true.
Where I have to like refrain from singing because it's such a great song.
No, and I think you should. I think you should.
No, I've done that before, and it's we've lost followers, so I'm not going to do that. Mark from Prairie to Sac, in response to we were talking about this earlier. Dick Van Dyke played a murderer that Columbo caught in one of his episodes. Of Diagnosis Murder? I think he means Columbo. Because why would Columbo? I don't know. So I said earlier that I can't even... I don't even know if I'm supposed to say that on the radio.
No, that's fine.
But I just said the guy's name. I didn't say like going to like what the plot lines of his pornographic films were. Pete Schwabe is here in the house. That's me. We're talking Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Conrad is working the board. And right now I'm very excited to welcome two of my favorite guests. Well, one is one of my favorites and one is soon to be, I have no doubt, because I love Comedy City. They do great work here in De Pere. And these are two of their all-stars joining me now in the studio, Erica Larson and Scott Rumat.
Yeah. Got it right.
Welcome back. And Erica, great to meet you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Burned your tongue. That's a terrible thing at this time of year because you're going to miss out on, you know, all the good food.
I know. I ordered a pizza on my way home from work and I was not planning my pizza time adequately.
You got to get like some eggnog and get some eggnog and like, make sure it like nice.
I thought about putting it in a blender with make a pizza smoothie.
Oh.
For maximum efficiency.
No, I was just thinking of like something nice that you can just kind of soothe it out. Like if you have something hot food and you drink like milk.
Tall afterwards. Glass of milk.
Yeah, but it's seasonal. It's eggnog.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I even really need to be here right now. Let's let these guys work this out. And no, it's. Do you guys like eggnog? Because I'm not a fan either.
I can't do eggnog. No.
No,
my husband buys like a quart of it. Oh, I'm sorry, Scott.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, he'll buy a whole quart of it or a pint of it, however it comes, you know, and he'll slam the whole thing and I'll have...
I remember liking it when I was a kid and going, oh, this is kind of a... Because it was associated with Christmas. Sure. And then I, like at the age of 19 or 25 or whatever, I was like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life and I don't think I can ever drink it again. And I haven't. Do you like it, Scott?
If I pretend that it's not eggs, then I'm fine with it. But like, it reminds me of circus peanuts or like Laffy Taffy, like banana Laffy Taffy.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. And it's a drink. So it's
It reminds me of deviled eggs liquefied. And that's why I can't.
Hollandaise
I can't
sauce.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. all right. We're off to a good start here. You guys, this is so fun. I love when Comedy City is here. And I know I must have really ticked off Nick last time because he didn't want to be here this time. But you guys are really busy this time of year.
Yes.
I was kidding about Nick, by the way.
Oh, no, I was messaging him. I was saying, you're out. You're out.
We're the favorites now.
Yeah.
There's going to be a coup at Comedy City.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff going on. Let's jump in and talk about this really cool event you have coming up tomorrow, right? Do you have something going on there tomorrow?
Yeah.
The Christmas Vacation Live Radio.
Yeah, it's a radio play. We do it at least once a year. We do a different show once a year at least. Tomorrow just so happens to be National Lampoon Christmas Vacation.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's not, I mean, you can go and watch, you sit and buy tickets in the audience and watch us do our thing, but it's fun. Not like a play, you know, it is, but it isn't. We don't have a set. We don't have props. We're not acting.
Yeah.
It's like an old timey 1940s sit around the fireplace. Great. And
I would imagine that would be really popular and people would want to go.
Yeah.
And be in the
sold out.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
you
okay.
Know.
Great. That's, it's not like you're trying to keep people away from the theater there, Erica. Like,
I mean, they're welcome to bang on the windows and watch. Yes. Coming in next year.
So who are you guys in the play?
Oh, no, I'm not.
Oh,
I'm
you're not.
Doing
not.
It. Oh, okay. I'm giving everyone a chance to shine this year. I'm not going to outshadow everyone.
There's been too much Scott recently at Comedy City. What about you, Erica?
I'm Audrey Griswold, Juliette Lewis's teenage character. And then I'm also Helen, the boss's wife at the very end.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. So. Brian Doyle Murray's.
Yeah.
Or the actor's wife.
Right.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that, do you read verbatim from the script? Like, do you get a hold of
it? It's modified. The... Okay. I mean, Gary is the director, producer, man of many hats, and he adapted it for the stage.
Yeah.
And so we stand up there with the script. We will wear costumes and, I don't know. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. It sounds
like a blast.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's not as much mental investment, as it would be if you were going to go and sit and watch the theater.
Yeah.
But it's still, I don't know. It's a familiar script. It's a familiar story, familiar characters. And if you do a lot of community theater stuff, if you're a frequent community theater goer here in the Green Bay area, you'll recognize a lot of faces.
Green Bay Community Theater is huge here, isn't it? It's like I've had a couple guests from the last couple over the last couple weeks, and it's just incredible.
Yeah, and this is one of the events where the community theater folks and the improv folks, we kind of cross over.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of opportunities for us to mingle very often because they're doing their thing and we're doing our thing.
Is there bad blood?
No.
They have lines to memorize.
Yeah.
We have
attention spans.
You always want to pretend you don't like them off the cuff.
Sure,
and they
a
want
Sharks
to script
and Jets
it.
Thing. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I would love, that would be a fun, I'm just saying, like, you guys could have a lot of
fun. I'll throw it out there.
See what happens. So how does that work? Like, is it like a table read where you have someone reading the action lines or is it just the script? You just read the dialogue.
One of the cast members who happens to be one of the community theater regulars is Will Knoppen, and he is the narrator. So where there are scenes in the film where there's not a lot of verbal stuff, like the sledding scene is one where they grease the bottom of the sled. There's not a lot of talking going on, but Will goes up there and Gary does a really, really good job of adapting that really super slapstick comedic high action sequence for the stage. So you've got Eric Westfall who's playing Clark Griswold. And he's doing like, wow, woo, wow, he's doing that. Right. But then Will is the narrator and he's saying he's flying through the trees and he's crashing through the Walmart parking lot and da da da. And then we have Maggie Durnell on the kind of a Foley booth set up with the sound effects. So she's got like jingle bells and cymbals to crash together and stuff like that. So it's, you know, if you're sitting in the audience, you can close your eyes and it's like you're in 1944 listening to
a
radio show.
Right.
It's
the future. That is so fun.
Yeah,
that sounds
it's
like
a lot
so
of fun.
It's sold out though.
This one unfortunately is, but it is always a popular thing every year.
What's the capacity at your space? Like, what do you guys hold? Do you know?
Nick's going to yell at me if I get it wrong. 60
somewhere between 3 to 800. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I would 60-ish?
I would say 60 people. Yeah.
60 people?
Prior to COVID, it was like 75.
Okay.
And then COVID-ish era moved out some of the chairs, said this is too many bodies and too many people breathing
social
on each other.
Social distancing.
Yeah, yeah. So when we sell out, it still feels like there's 500 people in there.
Wow.
But I think there's probably like 60-ish.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so intimate. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's so one great. Of the beautiful things about improv is having done improv in a big auditorium where you're trying to project and play to the back of the auditorium, it's a very, very different feel for the players than it is playing in our space where we only are playing to a room of 60.
I love that. That's so great. Erica Larson and Scott Rumott are here from Comedy City. They join me periodically here in the studio. Some members, it's kind of a revolving door, but it's been fun to meet all you guys. What about the roast of Santa Claus on the 18th?
That one, one of our friends, John Egan, who I know has been on the show
John's
before.
Been on this, yeah.
He throws together that every year and gets people to dress up as different Christmas characters. They don't have to be Christmas related. It could be like, you know, Buddy the Elf or Jimmy Stewart or the Easter Bunny. But then they just kind of go in there, they do their stand-up bits, they do their roasts of everyone else, all the other characters. But it's usually a lot of fun. It's crazy.
Can you get risque like it's something like
that? Yeah.
Or is it mostly a clean venue, Comedy City?
It depends on the night. Certain shows will be certain, you know, like we have some old ages shows, we have some grown-up shows. I believe... I'm guessing the Comedy City Christmas Vacation. I'm guessing that's rated PG.
PG-13. Yeah, okay. they it's pretty close to the same movie.
Santa roasts are usually about rated R.
R to NC-17, depending on
depending on
who's on stage.
He came up to Marinette just last year and did a charity thing I put together up there. He and a comic named Johnny Beaner, and John was very funny. It was the first time I ever saw him do stand up.
Yeah, he's
funny.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't like him personally. I'm just saying he does a nice job when he's on the stage. All right, so then after that, you've got the Snowy Mountains in Improv Comedy.
Snowy Mittens.
Mittens.
Yeah.
I was using voice text, Conrad. I can't believe I get anything right when I use voice text. Snowy Mittens. It's a romance comedy improv show?
Yeah.
Tell us if you're familiar with the
Hallmark Christmas movie phenomenon from the last few years.
Sure.
Yeah, we're just kind of spoofing that. So I think it's working slightly differently this year, but it's pretty much the same that we did last year and the year before, where we take the common tropes from these Hallmark Christmas movies. You've got the small town, big city lawyer snowed in, and she's got to save her family bookstore, and her fiancé is her ex-husband from high school, and he's also Santa Claus. So all of these tropes kind of get thrown in a hat. And at the beginning of the show, we kind of Mad Libs a show together. Like we take a plot from a real Hallmark Christmas movie
where we
scratch out, you know, like character names and locations and twists. We scratch all that out so it's blank. And then we go to our hat, you know, and we pull out tropes and we just fill in the blanks with whatever we pull out from actually. It's just a mishmash of all the different Hallmark Christmas movies. And we put our plot together and we read the plot out loud to the audience. And then we kind of do a quick, panicky 10-second huddle where we say, okay, I'm going to be this, you're going to be this, I'll do this, and oh, shoot, we'll do this. And it's a very, very loose framework that grows and expands and flexes and shatters and crumbles and gets recombobulated.
So
it's great. It's a lot of fun.
We got Comedy City here, and we put these Lifemark movie trailers together. Do we have one we can play for these guys?
Yeah, after the break we can play
after the break we'll play one, because I would love to use you guys. Because there are certain people at this company that aren't. No, I'm kidding. Conrad and I are typically the voices, so I would love to. And you know, and we used to have girls that worked here, but there are none now. Well, Connie's here.
Well, yeah, Connie's here.
Yeah, Connie.
2025. Jeez.
Listen, we're branching out. I just mean in this building, there are plenty of women here that work, but we need actors. So I would love to, if you guys are ever game for that, we could show you what
sure.
you know we do. silly stuff periodically. Okay. All right, tell us about this. This is, I can't think of a better way to ring in New Year's than with comedy. I remember when I was a stand-up working these New Year's shows, and what I hated about it was you and the other comic counting down the New Year, and then all the couples are hugging, and you're like, Happy New Year, guy I just met.
Yep.
So what is a Comedy City New Year's Eve like?
Well, we play a game called Five Things during our shows that are, it's a lot of people really like. And right after that, as if like it's a punctuation on the year, we celebrate and we count down. And I believe we do it for every show.
Yeah, we have three shows on New Year's Eve.
Oh,
so
sweet.
Yeah, if you've got kids, then you'd want to put the kids to bed by 9 o'clock. We still do a countdown for them. And we have the confetti cannons and kazoos and bells and stuff like that.
Yep. All right, let's pick up right there. We're going to do a quick break.
Sure.
Erica and Scott are here from Comedy City. And we're going to see if we can enlist them into one of our... I don't know, we'll figure it out. We'll talk about it. It's great to have you guys here. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me, folks, on this gorgeous... It's gorgeous because Christmas is right around the corner. If this were late January, this would be a pretty sucky night, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
It's cold.
I think compared to the last couple of days, this feels tropical.
Yeah, this feels pretty good, actually. That's Erica and Scott. Erica Larson and Scott Rumott are here representing Comedy City on our show tonight. Love when Comedy City is here. So I was gonna play this for you guys because I would love to enlist your talents. So do we have Bloody Turtleneck?
Yes, we do.
Let's do Bloody Turtleneck.
Life Mark's very melancholy Christmas continues with this week's film, My Husband's Turtleneck. Penelope was still grieving her husband Barry, who went missing last Christmas when she fell into his best friend Dave's arms and his bed. He helped her heal, but now, 1 year later, he's ready to pop the question. Even though Barry was the love of her life, Penelope was ready to accept his proposal until she noticed something in Dave's closet.
Penny, honey... You've made me the happiest man in the world. Will you marry me?
Oh, Dave, you've been my rock since Barry disappeared last Christmas. What is that?
What is it, babe?
Is that Barry's turtleneck?
Penelope, I can explain.
You can explain Barry's Christmas turtleneck covered in blood and hanging in your closet, you sick freak? That's what he was wearing the day he went missing. You killed him!
It was an accident.
You bastard!
Wait. Listen, will you just be quiet and let me explain? Look, I told him I loved you, and he couldn't handle his best friend being so madly in love with his wife. It wasn't my fault. It's like he went crazy. I had to punch him a couple times just to settle him down. Next thing I know, we got into a fight, and it just happened. All because I love you so much.
Really?
I wanted to marry you since the day I met you.
Oh, you're so sweet, but I'm gonna need some time with this.
Take all the time you need. I love you.
This Christmas, don't miss My Husband's Turtleneck, a story of true love at any cost. Playing all month long on LifeMark.
So as you can see, we need a little help with the acting here. Because Nikki doesn't work here anymore. I'm just like, going through the
I'm
motions.
I'm Penelope then?
I think you could pull that off, Scott.
Oh, my sweatshirt. I don't know the lines.
All right. So you guys were telling us about this great event New Year's Eve you have.
Yeah.
And you got a kids show and an adult show. And it sounds like a blast.
One kids show, two adult shows.
Yes.
Okay. Or, I mean, and I'm not the cops. I'm not your parents. You can do whatever you want. You can take your kids to the late show. It's fine. Whatever, but yeah, they're marketed as grown-up shows.
Yep, we have a 5 o'clock, a 7:30, and a 10:15.
Okay.
So the 10:15 obviously will be the real midnight.
Now, how do you ring in the new year? Is it after the show and then you?
Oh no, it's usually right during the show. Yeah.
Oh,
the... he was talking about our game five things. That's every normal show we do. We play five things right before the intermission.
Oh,
right
fun.
Halfway through. So for the New Year's show, we always do the countdown right before intermission, right after this five things game.
Okay.
That way people aren't, you know, heading out to the bars five minutes before the end of the show. Right. We're not saying Happy New Year to an empty room.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we count down, everybody smooches everybody, and then we pop bottles, and then we quick take a little bathroom break, and we come back, and we finish the show, and everybody's still in their seats.
Oh,
it's great.
Fun.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun. It's like my favorite show we do every year. It's so much fun.
Comedy is a great way, I mean, to celebrate New Year's Eve. You're not just going out. You can have some drinks, but you're not going out just to get ripped.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's nice when there's a framework there. What do you guys, in regard to Comedy City, are most of the people there, like, is it a hobby, or do you have people that come through there that want to be on Saturday Night Live one day?
I think that is a good question. I think everyone comes in kind of doing their own thing, why they're there. Some people want to get better at public speaking. Some people want to just do something fun on Friday night because they don't play bowling or anything.
bowling.
There are some people that have moved on. I know some of the people I've performed with and stuff like that over the years. They've went out to LA. They've done stand up out there. They've done a whole bunch of other stuff. A couple people from our troupe themselves have actually been on many things. Matt Sloan from years ago. He's the voice of Darth Vader in quite a few video games.
Oh, cool! Very cool.
We have world famous Kevin MacLeod.
The spinning monkeys guy. He does the royalty free TikTok music.
Yeah,
he's great.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He's an alum.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Devin Dugan.
I've heard his name.
Yep.
What does he do?
He has been out in Southern California for 20 years, something like that. He started his own troupe out there, but now he's kind of, he has his own improv troupe that he started
based on
what he picked up from Comedy City.
Yeah, it's like a little nephew.
Cousin something. I don't know, but I mean, obviously, being out in LA, you have more access to everything that LA has to offer. So he's making moves out there.
Nice. But you guys find, like, do you hang out off when you're not doing shows?
Oh yeah.
See, are these your best friends? Like, I miss hanging out with comics all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I see my wife and Conrad. That's my week, you know, and they're both great in their own way. But, like, I'm kidding, obviously. But it's fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
You hang out, like, is this your main friend group?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So cool. I can't even hesitate when I say that.
Yeah,
that is my friend group.
Does it sound like I'm fishing for an invite? I'm just asking.
Auditions?
Can I be part of that?
Couple months.
I mean, it's a whole like American Idol panel. We're basically auditioning our new friend group.
Yeah.
No,
you gotta audition just to be a friend. That's
what kind of video games do you play?
Oh dear, I'm in trouble.
But no, it's a really good thing to bring up though, because we do have weekly open practices. So if you're not committed to performing on stage, completely fine, totally fine. Nobody is gonna make you perform on stage with us. If you do, awesome. Great. That's one more group.
That's what I love about groups like this.
Yeah.
Like I love actors and funny people. They're just a blast. So can we keep you guys for a few minutes past the news?
Sure.
Maybe do a little improv game or something.
Sure.
All right. We're going to do that after the news. Folks, Erica Larson and Scott Rumott are here. I'm hoping they'll be my friend. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.